Well, welcome. My name is Robbie, if I haven't met you. I'm on staff here with New Life Christian Fellowship. I'm one of the deacons along with my wife, Crystal, who you just literally met. She was just up here. And we've been on staff. Crystal's been on staff for 10 years. I've been on staff for 7 years. But I have been a part of this church for 17 years. And I remember I sat over here. Maybe where you're sitting, Melissa. I sat right here. When I was a freshman, and the worship leader came up and shook my hand, and I was like, what is happening? And then next year, I was in his band, and then it just all dominoed from there. I love this church. I love this community. I love what it stands for. I love following Christ with this community. And, we've been talking about this vertebrae series, right? And I'm, Jim and I are not science people, so I'm sure we're butchering what vertebrae is. But I've been thinking of it as just like it's the central column. It gives all the information to the rest of the body. It provides structure for our skeletal system. And so there's this sense I've been thinking about vertebrae as what we've been going through as these kind of central tenets, the central column of our faith. Of what it is that we believe, of who it is that we follow. So Jim, remember 2 weeks ago, he talked about God as our Father and King, how God initiates these expressions of love, this amazing love towards us. And then last week he talked about community, communitas, people that are together that view the needs of the others more important than the needs of their own, right? And that was reflected in Romans 12, how God's love is reflected in the church, in the community within. And so this week we're going to be talking about the church as well, but also what its mission is. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, how we get to be ambassadors is what we're going to be focusing on. And so I'm going to show you a picture of my family. You saw Crystal up here. So that's Lucy. She's one. Is my shadow. She's one. She's sweetie. And this is Rosalind. She's four. And they are just a picture of God's blessing in our life. Rosalind shares her birthday with the anniversary of the Virginia Tech shootings. So that's just another image of God's blessing. We'll be talking about that today. But we have this kind of family mission, and maybe it's not quite written down, but we want our family to be a blessing to other people. We want the things that we have been blessed with, that God has blessed us with, to be a blessing to the people around us, to our neighbors, to our neighborhood. So whether it's our house, whether it's our pets, whether it's our children, whether it's our talents, whatever it is that we have, we know it's all come from God, and we want it to be a blessing to the people around us. So how are we loving them well? That's a question we ask quite a bit. Even in the midst of crazy, if you have siblings or, you remember what it was like when you were a kid, things are crazy when you have little kids. It's just kind of crazy all the time. And you're just kind of floating on the surface of, woo, but we still want to be a blessing. That's our desire. So that's what we're going to explore today. God's mission, God's family, his family business, and what role do we, the church, play? So let's pray, and then we'll get right into it. Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to you this morning. We come to you with open hearts, open eyes, open ears, open minds to receive from you, Lord, your word, that we might submit to it, that we might be transformed by it, God. Would your spirit move and work in us? That we would hear from you and be changed and respond as we move forward from this service throughout the week. God, that we would not just hear and ignore what it is that you're calling us to do. God, would you remind us of the church's mission, of your mission? It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. So we're going to do a few things this morning. The scripture that we're going to sit in is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Okay? We're talking about three things: God on mission, Jesus on mission, and the church on mission. Okay? God on mission, Jesus on mission, church on mission. Those things are kind of found in this passage. We'll talk about that in a second. And you're going to hear two words a lot from me and from the passage. You're going to hear the word reconciliation, and you're going to hear the word presence. Okay? Those two words are going to come up a lot. So again, Jim talked about God as Father and King. He has authority. He is ruling. He is also loving to us, and he's initiating these things to us. We talked about the church, how it's this reflection of God's kingdom and how we are unified together in love. But there's something else that we need to do. The church has a mission. So let's read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 here. And we're going to start in verse 17 today. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. All right, so first thing we're going to talk about is God's mission. Okay, so if we look at that in this passage again, starting in verse 18, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself. Okay, what does that mean? What does it mean that God is reconciling the world to himself? Obviously, he has something in mind when he created the world, and we'll talk about what reconciliation means in a minute. Now, last semester, we had this series on hope. And in the midst of that series, we kind of talked about the hope through Scripture and how God had this initial idea when he created everything, that creation was supposed to be this temple, this dwelling place of God. Everything in it has a purpose, including the people, the little images of himself that he put in to reflect himself to all of creation, to remind creation of, okay, who's in charge here? Who has authority? Who is our benefactor? It is God Almighty who we see in these human beings. And so the first people were God's family. They received his blessing. His blessing came through his presence. He was present with them in the garden, right? He walked with them. They had a vocation, a job. But then we rejected that blessing. We kind of thought that maybe living a different way would bring more goodness into our life, that God might be holding back on us. And so we rejected that blessing. We rejected that presence. And so the story arc of Scripture in one sentence might be God getting his people back. God getting his people back, his family back. Because when that rejection happened, there became this separation between God and humanity. And that's what reconciliation means, to restore friendship or harmony. The restoration of friendship or harmony, the restoration of harmony between two people, groups, God and people. So God's mission is the restoration of all things, reconciling himself in humanity. And we see throughout Scripture that he initiates over and over again to us as the people that he's trying to get back to, right? He picks Abraham out and he says, I'm going to bless all the nations through you. Through your descendants. I'm going to make this promise to you. You're going to have descendants, and they're going to bless the world. But the people that I'm going to create out of you are going to have to be a little bit different. Because the way that everybody else is living their life, the way that the rest of the world is living, leads to death. And so we're going to have to be a people that point to God, point to life. And so God called these people Israel. And God was present with his people in the tabernacle, in the temple. Obviously, God is present wherever he wants to be, but this is the place that he demonstrated his presence in these places amongst his people. Obviously, throughout Scripture, we see that there are problems, right? God is not only Father, he is King, he has authority, and again, his people continued to reject his authority. They rejected him as King. They began to see themselves special simply because of the blessing, not because of the blesser. They saw themselves as special because they had the temple. They had the land. They were the people. Not special because God was blessing them. And they forgot that original promise meant that they were supposed to bless the whole world. God was blessing the whole world through them. They forgot about his presence. And so even in the book of Ezekiel, through the prophets, they see like, okay, so there's something happening here. We're forgetting something. We're forgetting what we're supposed to be doing. And eventually God in Ezekiel withdraws. It says he withdraws his glory. His glory left the temple. Seems like things are pretty grim at that point, right? Not so. Let's read these verses again. We know some of what's going to happen here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. So what does it mean if he is reconciling himself to us through Christ? God's mission, reconciliation. Jesus' mission also happens to be reconciliation. So how does God do this? He comes down himself in the flesh. The Word made flesh, it says in the book of John, the Gospel of John. It says the Word made flesh, and in the message it says it moved into the neighborhood. It made its dwelling among us. It's tabernacling is the in the sense of the Greek there, among us. It's his presence is among us in the form of a baby, an actual human crying, pooping, screaming baby. They do that. Jesus did that too. But he came down to be with his people, not behind curtains, not behind walls, not behind religious trappings, but as a person. He moved into the neighborhood. Mark 1:15, the first proclamation of Jesus' ministry is, repent and believe, because the good news of the kingdom is here. The kingdom is right around you. It's here. It's at hand. The kingdom is here. The way of living in friendship and harmony with God is right here. In Luke 4, he sits down. I think we might have that up there. He sits down and he reads this scroll, another beginning of his ministry. And he's reading from Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. He says, this is being fulfilled right now in me. As you sit and listen, this is being fulfilled. All these promised things, you know it's not right. You know it wasn't settled right. You know God is still doing something. Well, this is what it's happening. It's being fulfilled right now. Everything that Israel couldn't do, Jesus does. All the way all their kings failed, he succeeded. And so he goes forth in the rest of his ministry. He brings healing. He casts out evil. He teaches people to reject apathy, to teach about injustice, about life in his kingdom, where the poor, the maligned, the alienated will be lifted up. Not will later on, but are in his presence, in Jesus' presence. That's what he does. He sends his followers out, and they start doing the same things. It's a beachhead. It's D-Day. The rightful king is here. Things are beginning to turn around. The stuff that leads to death, there's life coming. There's life coming. He starts inviting people to be a part. And ultimately, to close that gap between God and humanity, to end the ravages of sin, he is sacrificed on the cross and resurrected. Paul says this in Romans 5, for if we were God's enemies, Romans 5:10, if we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. How much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Through Jesus, we have reconciliation with God. We have restoration of friendship with God, our Creator. We have harmony with God, our Creator, through Christ's presence. And just like death came into the world, as Paul continues to say, through one man, through sin, through Adam, now ultimately life abundant comes through Christ. So then he ascends to the throne to help his Father rule until the time he comes back to make everything new again. And so he sends the Spirit, and it pours out his presence. The Spirit, his presence, pours out onto his followers at Pentecost, right? And the church is born. The pouring out of this blessing, the Spirit that dwells in us, all us who call Jesus as Lord. The Spirit is living in us. Let's read what Paul says again, 2 Corinthians 5. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us, the church, us, his people, the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Let's read that again. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. So we have God's mission. God's mission is reconciliation. Jesus' mission, reconciliation. What is the church's mission? Thank you, okay. We have the message and the ministry of reconciliation. That God is here, he wants to be with his people. So the church takes on that mission. Again, God is the authority and the power. He has the transformative power. But as he has poured out into us, we have the ability to bring his message and ministry of reconciliation to the world around us. Eugene Peterson talks about the church like this. He says, the church is a colony of heaven and a country of death. A colony of heaven and a country of death. That's what we are supposed to be. Bringing life to the people whose way is death. In fact, that's what the word church means. The Greek is ekklesia, and it means the sent ones. The sent ones, ekklesia. The church is open. It reflects the life, teaching, and authority of Christ. It is present in the middle of culture, in the middle of neighborhoods. It brings hope. There's many metaphors that Paul uses in Scripture to talk about the church. He talks about it as a body, being one example. But right here, we see he talks about how the church is to be an ambassador. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. We implore you. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We are his ambassadors. We are representatives. So that's what ambassadors do. They represent their home country. They represent their home kings. And they go to different lands, and they say, how can you hear about our land? If you're familiar at all with the D.C. area, you might be aware of the functions of ambassadors and embassies. Perhaps even your family has worked for the State Department and gone overseas. I think we have a picture of NBC Row up here. We don't really need the picture, but there it is. There's some flags. Okay. But they go to these places, these cities, and these major cities, and they exchange cultural ideas, right? They talk about, this is what our food is like, right? They might invite people over into the embassy. This is what our food is like. Would you like to try some? These are what our traditions are like in our culture. This is how we do things. These are some of the holidays and the festivals that we celebrate. The ambassador might talk about the economy of their country. This is how we do things. Our economy is built on neighborly love and care, self-sacrificial love, Romans 12. That's what our economy is built on. It's got to be different, doesn't it? It might mean that we speak across borders, speak across cultural divides, speak across different values. Even if they look different, think different, vote different, have different values, and we need to do that within the church too. But we must be willing to go into these spaces that we normally would not go into. Maybe as ambassadors, we start inviting people over to have meals with us. Maybe we start inviting them to visit our country, visit the kingdom. Not just travel brochures. We want them to immigrate. We want them to immigrate. We want them to learn the language. We want them to clothe themselves in the king's clothes, use the king's speech, do the king's business of reconciliation. As we have been blessed with the presence of God, we want to bless them with the presence of God. We want them to meet the king. We want to extend that blessing. One of the other metaphors Paul uses is that of a temple. Because as Christ is residing in us, the Holy Spirit is residing in us as God's temple, when people come in contact with us, they're coming in contact with the presence of God. A few weeks ago, at our learning community. This is this thing that we do at the beginning of each semester where we get our engaged group leaders and apprentices and core members, and we get together and say, what is the vision of this semester? What is the vision for this year? What is God trying to tell us? What do we want to do? And he talked about how we want to be a blessing to others. Hashtag bless to bless. Be hearing that? He talked about the story from when he was a kid, when he and his friend went into the backyard and they dammed up this creek. And, they had a really good time playing in this pool that they had made. But then the next day they came back and the pool was stagnant. And the neighbors complained because the water was gone. But I was thinking about that. I want to expand on that a little bit, because one of the ways we talk about God's presence, I think the scripture talks about God's presence, is through a river, the picture of a river. And in Revelation 22, well, even in the Garden of Eden, it talks about rivers pouring out. Revelation 22, it says this: the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river, stood the tree of life, bearing crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of the God and the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. So we think about God's blessing, his presence is being poured out from his throne. And I was thinking about that. And I was thinking about rivers, how they are places of life, of civilizations are founded on rivers. If you think about any major city in the world, it's usually centered or built upon a river. Begin to think about some of the rivers we have here in the United States. And maybe what happens when some of those rivers are abused, when the purpose is forgotten, and we try to keep it all for ourselves. A number of years ago, National Geographic photographer Peter McBride and adventurer John Waterman, they decided to follow the Colorado River all the way from its headwaters in Rocky Mountain National Park, all the way down to the Pacific. I think it's the Gulf of Sea of Cortez, officially. So the whole way, I think we have, there's a picture, the Grand Canyon. Yeah, that's what formed the Grand Canyon, the mighty Colorado River. But they found a lot of interesting things. They found that there are many, many, many straws, so to speak, in the river. Many diversions, many damming projects. Immediately, before it even leaves the park, it is tunneled. There's tunnels through, I've seen these tunnels. They go through Rocky Mountain National Park, through the Rockies, through the Continental Divide, over, Denver and the Front Range, Boulder, everybody there can get water. So it's already diverted before it even leaves the park. There's irrigation. 4 million acres are irrigated along the Colorado River for farming. I'm not in here to tell where this is good or bad, but it's just something to think about. Farming also ups the salinity and the fertilizer count. That changes the river. There are 29 dams on the river. We get hydropower from that as well. 40 million people depend on the water. We talked about Denver. We think about Las Vegas, Phoenix. Think about where those places are. They're in the desert. And because of this, ultimately, since 1963, the Colorado River hasn't reached the Pacific at all, except for a couple of occasions. They ended up walking 90 miles through a dry riverbed. I think that's John walking right there. So that's where the river should be. 90 miles. There's pictures, if you Google this, there's pictures of them trying to raft through this muddy sludge, this polluted, muddy sludge where the river water ends. Now, every now and then they have these, they're called pulse bursts. Because Mexico's kind of run out of water because we kept it all to allow the water to go through. So the last time the water reached the ocean was 2014, just for a little bit. Well, think about that image. There should be 3,000 square miles of marshland right here. 350 species of birds. If God has been pouring out his blessing into us, the church, are we extending that blessing? If God has been pouring his blessing out into us as individuals, are we extending that blessing? This means we have to ask hard questions when it comes to church. Is the way that we're doing church a way that is extending that blessing? Are we on mission? Are we being sent? Are we extending God's presence into our neighborhoods? Or are we just kind of swimming in our own pools, thinking that we're special because we're blessed, not because of God himself? It's not something that we keep for ourselves. That's why I loved why they sing, you've called me higher, you've called me deeper, right? I could just sit here. I could just sit and wait for your presence. I could be safe. But you have called me higher. You've called me deeper. There's something else that you've called us to. Again, the church isn't just a service to invite people to. It's not just an event. It's not just a social club. There's a purpose to it. God's mission is the reconciliation of all people to himself through Christ. And he has given us the church, the ecclesia, the sent ones, his bride. He has tasked us with the message of reconciliation and the ministry of reconciliation. What does that ministry look like? Are the people around us experiencing healing? Are they experiencing listening? Are we listening to them? Are their identities shifting? Are people being blessed? You know, there's some ways that we do this at NLCF. You'll hear about Hokies for the Hungry up here in a couple months. There's spring break trips that we do, a church that we try to bless in Honduras. There's the 209 Man of Ministries, the on-campus food pantry. These are all important things. But again, one of the most important things is to be present with the people around us, to eat with them, to cry with them, to laugh with them, to show them the love of Christ over and over and over again. You know, Christian at LC, he gave us these things that we can do to be a blessing, to hashtag bless to bless. Invite. Not just invite to church, invite people to be a part of our lives. We are ambassadors. What are we ambassadors to? Share meals together. Meals break down those walls, those barriers, those differences. To encourage. Are we encouraging one another? Are we reflecting Romans 12 within the church? When people encounter our church, the people, are they encountering a Romans 12 kind of church? Where we are self-sacrificially loving each other? Where we are being Christ to one another? We serve. Maybe some of the things I've just mentioned, maybe some of the behind-the-scenes things at the church. What are some ways that you can serve? We give gifts. And we bear witness. We tell stories. I say, this is where God is moving. This is where I see his presence right here in my hall. This is where I see his presence right here in my apartment building. In my family, I've seen his presence do this. Let me share this story with you. Those are some of the things that we try to do at NLCF. Because if a church isn't really moving and on mission, is it really a church? Let's pray. Almighty God, I thank you for your ministry of reconciliation, that you have initiated this grand rescue plan to bring us out from the dominion of darkness, to multiply your blessing, to remind us of the vocation that you gave us in the garden. You could have just said, okay, if that's what you want, I want no part of you anymore, but you didn't. In fact, you came down as Jesus in the flesh, experiencing hardship, gave up things that you deserve, glory in heaven. You came down to humble yourself to be with us, Hebrews says. You paid that ultimate sacrifice, so we didn't have to. God, show us where we can be good neighbors. Show us where we can be present in our neighborhood. Show us where we can extend that blessing, where we can extend our table. We can provide more chairs to the table so people can come to it. so people can receive your blessing, receive your presence. Show us how we can truly care for those around us, even if they're different, even if they don't believe some of the things that we do. God, because it all revolves around you. All this revolves around you and your love and your mercy. God, show us as a church how we can be doing that. If we need to change something, God, show us. If we need to repent, show us, God. We do want to be a people that are humbled enough to change. Jesus, in your holy name, your holy and precious name, your powerful name, that we pray these things. Amen.